This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm delighted to have on a veteran of musical theater in Canada, musical theater singer, performer, cantor, and conductor of Singing with Parkinson's, led by Paula Wolfson. And later on in the show, we're going to have some behind-the-scenes fun from our producers, Siobhan Kiley and Eva Shabbatai, so stay tuned to find out what it's like to be a producer on Finding Your Bliss at the end of the show. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about our first guest, the very talented Paula Wolfson. Paula has received numerous praise and accolades. As John Kaplan from Now Magazine wrote, there's only pleasure in the work of Paula Wolfson, a megawatt talent. Or, as it was written in the Toronto Star, Paula's full-throated emotional singing is one of the evening's joys. The Globe and Mail, Toronto Magazine. Paula has a lush, friendly voice that welcomes you into the music. How beautiful is that? Or this one. Paula Wolfson belts the F out of everything and shakes the house down at every turn. Mooney on Theatre Toronto. Glenn Sumi writes, didn't want to single her out in Capsule Review, but Wolfson blew the roof off in Caps. And finally, also by John Kaplan, the sassy, brassy Wolfson has awesome pipes and is as good an actor and comic as she is a singer. Paula Wolfson is a Dora Maver Moore Award-winning musical theater artist with over 40 years worth of appearances in mega musical tours and small shows in towns you've never heard of, covering much of the North American continent. After receiving her artist educator certificate from the Royal Conservatory, Paula embarked on a new musical trail, finding great pleasure in facilitating singing and personal expression with the vulnerable, people diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, the mentally ill, Alzheimer's, dementia. She now focuses on conducting Singing with Parkinson's, a registered charity which she founded. Paula led the Hazanut for Congregation Shir Levayenu at the MNJCC for 8 years. Paula, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much, Judy. I'm delighted to be here.
Paula, you're in the Canadian Who's Who, listed as an actor, singer, and musician. The reviews about your work are dazzling, as we've just heard. And guess what? When I mentioned that we were having you on the show, our supervising producer, Mag Ruffman, said this. I remember her playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and she was an absolute standout at St. Michael's High School. She is so musical and is such a good singer. And I know for everyone, for our listeners, Mag was referring to when you scored the Mary Magdalene role in a high school JCS. You said that this was it for you, hook, line, and sinker. This was 1975. You became a Canadian Actors' Equity member by 1980 in Godsville at the now-defunct Bayview Playhouse. What was it about that production that had you hooked forever?
Well, I'm having to go way back. I think just being able to express things that I wasn't able to do for lack of know-how at that age. I was a teenager. Prior to that, I was locking myself in my bedroom with my guitar and wailing Joni Mitchell. And I had never done a theater piece before. So that was a real eye-opener. And that's when the penny dropped and I knew. My poor mom, though, nothing would do but that I go to university. So I couldn't just go at it upon graduating. But I only spent a couple of years at school and then hit the boards.
Wow. And boy, did you ever. I mean, you've had a 40-year career as a musical theater artist, as a cabaret performer. You have a Dora Maver Moore Award for your role in Shaking the Foundations. And I couldn't believe also when I read that you were in the first ever Canadian tours of Les Misérables and Beauty and the Beast. What are your memories of the Les Misérables first Canadian tour? That must have been a trip.
It was a trip, Judy. I've always loved being able to get on a plane or in a car or in a bus and go touring across our beautiful nation. But I think the funniest thing that came out of that show for me was having money for the first time and seeing a pair of shoes that I thought were delightful and then buying them in three colors. And then coming home and my accountant saying, so how much did you put away for tax? And I said, tax? What's that? Yeah, it was something else. I'd never been part of it was a big machine, Les Mis.
Yes.
A huge, I mean, everyone knew they had to see it before, long before it got here, long before internet gave us any snippets of what to expect. That was a real mind blower.
I know you played Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast. Who did you play in Les Misérables?
I was an understudy. I was a swing in Les Mis, which means that you understudy the entire female chorus.
Wow.
So I think I had to learn 16 different parts. They call them tracks. All the soprano parts, all the alto, all the blocking, when your mic, I still have bad dreams. I'm serious. It's a recurring theme where I'm in the wrong place. I have the wrong hat. I think that's a pretty typical dream for a theater artist.
Yes. But
I'm still haunted by the stress of that job.
You're supposed to be Eponine, but you've got the Fantine costume on.
Never that far. No, it's just the chorus. Never the big one.
Well, I want to tell you guys, that listeners, you're in for a real treat because we're going to be hearing some of Paula singing. And honestly, your voice it's insanely, unbelievably good. And I mean, you all heard the reviews off the top. If you didn't, listen to the podcast to hear them, because this is a unanimous thing. Your singing is really just beyond. It's just beyond.
Thank you, Judy.
Do you remember the first production you ever saw and what your reaction to was it as a little girl?
I do. It was Anne of Green Gables at the Royal Alex. And I remember being way up at the top and I was terrified of falling down the stairs and over the edge. That place was so spooky. And Barbara Hamilton was playing
Marilla.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was something. But the first time I had a swoon was when Eric Peterson was doing 1837 at Passmurai. I was still in high school and I saw him on the subway and I had to go up to him. Oh, Mr. Peterson, I just saw you. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
Magical moment.
I just had a flashback of the first time I saw Eric Peterson in a show too. He's something else.
Oh, yeah.
What was your earliest memory of you being on stage? What were you doing and how would you describe what it felt like to be up there? Was that the high school Mary Magdalene or had you done something even earlier?
No, I was doing coffee houses in those days. And I taught music at Bayview Glen Day Camp. And they did a coffee house there too. Somebody just handed me a guitar because you couldn't take a piano with you anywhere. So I had to quickly learn how to play something. And I remember very clearly stopping the guitar and just taking a moment to see if people were listening. And they were. And that's when that penny dropped.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, it was very enlightening. Because the thing about music is not just about always putting out. It's also about stopping and letting the breaks work for you as well.
Of course.
The silence.
You know, I have had a lot of musical theater artists on this program, Cynthia Dale, and just it goes on and on and on, the greats, and Louise Pitre, and many more. But I have to tell you that I absolutely flipped out when I listened to your demos on your website, Paula Wolfson. com. And I just encourage you all, and we're going to give all the particulars at the end of the show, but Paula Wolfson, WOLFSON.com. I encourage you all to go check out that website because there's something about those tracks and your voice that I just went, oh my God, like this is not just, we're going to talk about this a cool event you have coming up on May 1st. This is, I want to get to know this musical theater artist. And in fact, I don't want to make our audience wait any longer. I want to play one of your cover songs, In My Heart by Dorothy Dittrich from When We Were Singing. Can you set it up for us?
Yes. brilliant Dorothy. I met her in Vancouver, which is where she wrote that piece, and we workshopped it and put it on there. And then I moved to Toronto and did a show at Buddy's, and David Oye was the artistic director at the time, and he asked me if I had anything else up my sleeve, and I said, yes, you have to listen to Dorothy's when we were singing. So they produced it there, and I got to play an alcoholic homophobe.
Wow.
It's fantastic. Talk about digging down. And it was an extraordinary piece. We were all so much younger then. But she's an incredible writer.
It's just incredible. So here is Paula Wolfson singing In My Heart. Let's all have a listen.
In my heart.
Due to international copyright law, podcasts are unable to include music. Music can only be played on the live radio broadcast. Finding Your Bliss airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to hear this artist's music, you can find the link to our Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud in the episode description.
Wow, wow, wow. Does that make you want to cry?
I am crying.
I know. I know. That's okay. That was beautiful, Paula. What a beautiful talent you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's so important to pause sometimes, and I can't help this. I'm a life coach, and just, you know, we tend to do stuff and just keep moving, 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 especially in this business, right?
Yeah.
On to the next thing, on to the next job, on to the next audition. And it's so important to pause. And that's what I honestly love about doing this show, is to watch, especially musical theater artists, because I also interview authors and all kinds of thought leaders and other mindfulness people. But to see an artist listen to themselves sing and to just pause and enjoy it and just go back, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we don't do that enough.
We don't. We're afraid of it. We're afraid to sit still for a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just gorgeous. Where did you get your musical training? Like, did this just all come naturally and you just sort of did this after that Mary Magdalene experience?
I was hoping you would ask that question. It came very naturally. My mother sang around the house while she was doing chores.
Nice.
And it made it just seem so natural and accessible to me. It's just what you do when you're doing the dishes or when you're washing the floor or ironing the sheets or whatever. We ironed the sheets.
Wow.
Anyway,
wow.
This became so natural. And I know we're not talking about it yet, but I'll come back to this point because it's my mission to try to get people to allow themselves to do the same thing. So many people are shut down over singing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, someone's told them to mouth the words, not to use the voice or, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So it was a very natural thing for me to do. We had choices of which arts we would learn as kids. Painting or piano were kind of the two. I tried painting, no good, but the piano worked. And then the guitar came along and an auto harp and et cetera.
Wow. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
What I love about you is that you really can sing anything. In fact, Georgia Strait from Vancouver wrote that Paula Wolfson's work as Belinda is breathtaking. She has a huge range and a full palette of vocal colors, capable of a joyous brassiness that would be the envy of any pop star. Can you tell us about playing Belinda and what that was all about?
Belinda was the alcoholic homophobe.
Okay.
When we were singing.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, I have to thank Dorothy for writing that kind of music for me to sing, because it was a huge range. Huge.
Wow.
Because everybody has something broken or hurt that they've either dealt with or they haven't. And Belinda, of course, hadn't. So everything came out really sharp and nasty until she had her quiet alone moment.
Mm.
So that's what that was.
Just gorgeous.
And then listening to the radio, the 70s. Oh my God, the 70s for music. And I just wailed along with Paul Simon or Joni or whoever.
Oh, I so see you singing Joni Mitchell. And even though we've got a lot of other musical things planned for this show of you singing, you have to come back and sing some Joni Mitchell for us.
Okay.
As well. I'd love to hear that. Was there an epiphany? And this might have been the one, Belinda, but was there an epiphany in your musical theater career where you just thought to yourself, it doesn't get any better than this?
Oh, boy. You might find this strange, and your listeners might find this strange, but after a mega musical tour and all the accolades and the parties and the money and the all that stuff, for me, when I got to Saskatoon and did a little show called Rock and Roll, and there was only four of us, and I was the only girl, and you could see the audience's eyes, and you were treated like a human being, not a cog in a machine.
Sure.
That was one of the most special moments.
Wow.
For me. Yeah.
And that's spoken like a true artist, right? Because it's very easy just to say, oh, the standing ovations and the applause and the throngs of people. But it's so interesting. And it says so much about you as a person that that wonderful epiphany for you happened in Saskatoon in a very small space.
Yes.
That's a true artist right there. We know that. You diversified into teaching. You're an artist educator with the Royal Conservatory of Music and also cantorial singing. You've been a soloist at Shir Levi Anu, and you're a horticulture expert. Wow. You're a real artist. A master gardener with your own business, My Gardens Keeper. But you came back as a performer in a big way at the 2018 Fringe Festival, where your show Judas Star Supersong received rave reviews and earned you a nomination for Outstanding Performance in a Musical. Can you tell us about this? Because you created and performed Judas Star Supersong at the Fringe. Where did the idea come from? And what insights can you give us into that whole process?
Cast your mind back to Jesus Christ Superstar 1975. I want to play Judas. That's who I want to play. Mary Magdalene, bah. And all those years, I kept thinking, how can I do it? 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 And I was toying with the idea about 8 years ago. We did little snippets of it at a little concert that I gave for a certain birthday. And it went over really well. And so I took the score of Jesus Christ Superstar and tore it apart and put it all back together again with a focus solely on Judas.
Wow.
I kept the storyline and I kept a lot of the other characters, but really Judas just spoke to me so deeply.
How so? What was it about Judas that spoke to you so deeply?
It's the whole question of, why are we here? Do I have any choice? Is there free will? What if I don't want to do what you think you want me to do, or what you think Creator wants me to do? Who says? So just his struggle and his pain navigating through all of that, I just had to sing it. So I did.
And what was that experience? I mean, obviously it was very well received, but what was that experience like for you to do it?
Well, we were in St. Stephen of the Fields on College with no air conditioning in the middle of July. People are dying.
Yes.
Oh my Lord, it was hot. But it was so fun. We sold out. All the shows got sold out. And you know, my whole thing about making people sing, I had a little sing-along at the end because I didn't do the Mary Magdalene song. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to. But I made them sing. It was so fun. So fun.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. You parlayed your passion, your love of musical theater, and your talent into your brainchild, Singing with Parkinson's, led by Paula Wolfson. Can you tell us more about your brainchild, how you became a part of all of this, and then really parlayed it into a whole new career? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Finding Your Bliss and singer Paula Wolfson when we come back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And just before the break, Paula, I was asking you about your brainchild singing with Parkinson's and how it all came to be.
I can't take credit for creating it. I was hired as the artist educator by, it was called Ryerson then. Dr. Frank Russo and Estella Vezer had created a study to see if what they called emotional singing, if it had any impact on the so-called Parkinson's mask. So they hired me to conduct this group of people that I fell in love with immediately. We only worked together for a few months and then the study was over. And the funds ran out and I asked if I could take it over. They called it Parkinson's Choir. I got rid of the word choir because that scares people for good reason. And by 2018, with help from a friend of mine who's a lawyer, Martin Gladstone, he got us our letters patent and we were off to becoming a registered charity. And it'll be 10 years. It's 10 years as of yesterday, actually, that I was hired.
Can you tell us what it looked like? Because I know it's had different permutations and computations before COVID, during COVID, where you used to meet at the Four Seasons Center once a week, I believe on a Thursday, and you would all meet together in a huge big circle. And I saw visuals of that. It looked fabulous. Just paint us a picture of what it looked like before and during COVID and now.
Sure. Well, before COVID, the before times, we were adopted by the Canadian Opera Company. They gave us a rehearsal room. They fitted it for accessibility. And people came by Wheel-Trans and by car and they walked. And it was unbelievable when I look back now. We stayed afterwards and had snacks and a great visit. And I was just starting my second group. There was too many in the first one for me to manage. I need to have eye contact and hands-on and see what's happening. And as soon as we started the second class, COVID hit and it's changed us immensely. It's not nearly so magical now because it is online, but it's better than nothing. I've got people in the States. I have people out West. I have people out East. Like it's just people who couldn't manage coming into downtown Toronto. Now, I don't even think I could manage coming into downtown Toronto again, frankly. So every Thursday, 2 o'clock, we do, much like you started, Judy, with the breathing. That's how we start. We do vocal exercises geared specifically for people who have vocal difficulty, which is an affect of Parkinson's for some people. And then we launch into either learning new songs or reviewing our oldie goldies, as I call them. And we have a huge range of music. And it's just the best. They're so brave.
Wow. Look what you're doing for people. Tell everyone the benefits of singing for the voice when you're impacted by Parkinson's. Or rather, as you say, the benefits of singing, period, for the heart, soul, and body for everyone.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor or a physician or a therapist. All I can talk to is my own experience and how I see it printing on the people I sing with. But you could even just call it vibration. But there's something about breathing in that air, letting out an emotion that maybe you haven't allowed yourself to feel before. There's something in those words that speaks to you. You know, when people ask you how you're doing and you always say, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So I'll throw a sad song at them, you know, and just say, don't go down the rabbit hole of despair, but just notice what that feels like to actually let that feeling out in a safe way. We use kazoos for vocal exercise because when you hum, it's really difficult to make a loud noise, but you bring a kazoo out of your pocket and the ice breaks and people laugh and it's really fun.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
What an incredible thing. It's been said that singing with Parkinson's under your leadership is much more than a choir. It's a community and a therapeutic resource for people living with Parkinson's disease. It's a community. I love that. Can you say more about that?
Yes. Now, in the old days, when we could visit after class, it was a little better. The ice was broken. So I've been gently guiding them to stay after class for 10 minutes. I turn my stuff off and disappear so that people have 10 minutes to visit with each other and check in and see what's going on. I've never had any kind of horrific anything. But I think when you know that there's other people in the boat with you, it makes it a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Just to express what it is you're feeling. Oh, you feel that too? Oh, your doctor said that? Oh. Hmm. You know, it's hugely, it's as important as the singing, I think.
So incredible. I know you have a very big event coming up on May 1st. That's how this all started. You wrote to me and invited us to the event, and I would really like to be there. Can you tell us about that event on May 1st?
I'll save you a cookie, Judy.
Yes.
So I was hired in April of 2015 to conduct the Parkinson's Choir. We became a charity in 2018. And then this year marks our 10th year from beginning to now of singing with Parkinson's every week for 10 years. So we're having a little celebration. It's not a fundraiser. I just want to get as many people in the room as I can. Not sure how many of my participants will make it, but everybody else can Zoom in. And nice. We'll just celebrate and we'll have a little sing-along. We've picked a song for us to sing. Our patent letters lawyer, Martin, is also a musician. He's going to sing for us. Martha Johnson of Martha and the Muffins is going to be our special guest.
Nice.
Martha's going to speak to what it is to be an artist with Parkinson's.
It's fabulous.
So I think it's going to be a lot jammed into an hour, but I think it'll be pretty great.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I look forward to it. And we'll tell people at the end of the show again how they can get tickets.
Okay.
In addition to all that you do, you also work with those with long-term care, those with special needs. And I read that you work with people with Alzheimer's and dementia. That made me think about when my late father was really dying really predominantly from Alzheimer's. And it was Canada Day. And I went to sing O Canada with him, and he knew all the words. He'd forgotten people's names. He'd forgotten so many things, but he knew all the words and sang with me and with my children, O Canada. And I'll never forget that. I just thought, wow.
So beautiful.
So tell us about what that's like working with people in long-term care, people with special needs.
Yeah, you have to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people who don't have experience with someone who's got that kind of struggle, maybe the partner will answer for the person, or you just have to meet. It's almost like an improv. It's like, yes, and as opposed to no, he died, la la la, or no, you sold that. Yes. And
right
is what it's like, you know, right. And whether they know the words or not, we just make up vowel sounds. Doesn't matter. But again, wonderful. That's why music is so important. That whole project with the iPod, playing music for people from their era, and you'd see somebody who's been comatose forever and ever, and then you see the toe begin to tap because you're playing their music. They recognize it.
That's fantastic. So fabulous. So fabulous. I also have a son who is a cantor, a beautiful cantor. There's something about cantorial singing mm-hmm. that I find so beautiful and impactful. Mm-hmm. And you've done it. For many years. Can you tell us about cantorial singing and what you love about it?
The minor keys.
The minor keys, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And I learned it all by rote because I never did learn to read Hebrew, but Aviva Goldberg was our rabbi at the time. And between her and the other cantor, Daniela Gesundheit, I just learned by rote. And it's a really small congregation. It's just in the chapel at the JCC. So maybe 40, 50 people at a time, aside from when you do the big things at the High Holidays and the mitzvot. I don't know. There's something in my soul about howling those liturgical pieces. Just beautiful.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
Do you remember, because I think you and I are from the same era, years ago, this play has haunted me. There was a show called Cantorial that played at the Les Apostles Theater that was so beautiful. I have no idea who it was written by or what it was, but I just remember being struck. And that was the first time I sort of became aware of the role of the cantor. But I have to look that up and check that out. I know a lot of people must wonder, because I know I did, with a voice like yours, and you'll hear again, everyone, because we've got something else coming up, beautiful singing from Paula, why you're not singing as much anymore. Do you still have a yen to do it, perhaps a one-woman show?
I don't think, the whole time I was doing this super song thing, I was terrified. there was just so much going on. And yeah. It was such a hard sing. I think maybe that's what an opera singer feels like when you have to go for that note and pray to God that your voice doesn't crack. There's a lot of pressure with that. I don't think I want to sing like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm very open to singing for people and with people. But the whole process of self-production.
Yeah.
If somebody else wants to take up those reins, give me a call. It's a lot of work and schlepping and,
yep.
You know,
heartache and all of it and all and a lot of high E's.
I sang on the train, by the way. I forgot to tell you guys that I was the artist on board VIA going from Toronto to Vancouver last October.
Wow.
Well, that was pretty crazy. So I still love singing, but not so much doing a show.
Not so much doing a show. You want to do it in your own way. And I think we just have to always find out what that your own way is so that we can check in on it because you're so amazing. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. So of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Paula Wolfson?
Bliss is when my SWIFTers, my Parkinsingers, when they sing something, when they get it, and I cry because I'm so happy. That's my bliss.
You're such a wonderful person. What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media and on your website?
I'm not really doing social media at the minute, unless you want to talk gardens, in which case it's HortoDiva on Instagram.
Yeah.
But paulawolfson.com, you'll get an email link there. Nice. That website's going to change. Did you see how old-fashioned it was? All pink and girly and curly. And
I love pink. Do you see my pink in the background?
Oh, yeah.
That's me. So I love all that. So it works for me. And also, again, about May 1st, what is the best way for people to get tickets? Is that through the website as well?
Yeah, it's not ticketed. I just need to know that you're coming so I know how many sandwiches to get. So again, paula@paulawolfson.com. We'll get you to me. And if you want to attend in person, great. If you want to watch it on Zoom, I can send you the link for that. But come, you might get a kazoo.
And a cookie. And so I'm coming for sure. You had me at the cookie. You had me at hello. Stay tuned, everyone, because we have some goodies coming up later on in the show. But first, Paula, we have another song to share with our listeners. Can you tell us about the song, We Small Hours?
One of the first cabarets I put together was called Between Engagements, meaning either you're between lovers or between shows. And I was just drawing a parallel. It's very similar to being between lovers and between shows. It's the same thing. You're always check the phone to see if the dial tone was there. So lots of songs around longing and loss and desire. And We Small Hours is one of those songs.
Let's all have a listen to We Small Hours by Paula Wolfson. Oh my God. It was my turn to cry this time. Maybe you're crying too. I don't know. But that was so beautiful, Paula. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Judy.
Oh, I knew this had to be a full show. I knew this couldn't be a 20-minute thing. Once I heard you sing, it was all over. I want to thank you so much, Paula, for being on the show today. It truly was an honor to have you here.
It was my honor, Judy. Thank you.
Loved it. Thank you so much. Don't go anywhere. We still have lots left on Finding Your Bliss after this short commercial break. I have a real treat for listeners coming up. You don't want to miss this. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi. Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Find Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And I'm here with two of our incredible producers, Siobhan and Eva. And they're here to really talk about what happens behind the scenes. First, let me introduce you to both of them. Siobhan is a longstanding member of the Finding Your Bliss family. And in fact, she's held many different roles throughout these past six seasons. That's 6 years. Beginning as an intern, she made cue cards in season one. I'll never forget it. That was live in person in the studio. And then we would race down to Zoomer Plex down in Liberty Village and often drive together. And oh, there's so many stories about that. She has worked as a production manager, a producer, and now she's also one of the video editors. So those gorgeous YouTube videos that you're seeing on the Finding Your Bliss YouTube channel were all made by Siobhan. And moreover, those gorgeous thumbnails, really pretty pinks and purples and oranges and happy thumbnail sketches are all designed by Siobhan. She's always been one of our top producers. Siobhan has really done it all on this show. And we love her, and we're very grateful to her for all of it. She is a graduate from the University of Guelph with a bachelor's degree in studio art. She also holds a diploma in film production from the Toronto Film School, and she won all these awards because she was one of their top students. Siobhan continues to seek opportunities to be creative in her everyday life, and she enjoys photography, horseback riding, and spending time with her husband. Siobhan just got married last year, and we got to see all the wonderful pictures of her being a bride, and she's just the best. Eva is a bilingual producer and screenwriter with bases in both Toronto and Montreal. And Eva graduated from Humber's Television Writing and Producing graduate program with honors to seek out a career in storytelling and in the television world. Eva has experience working in writers' rooms, reading scripts, and giving industry-level notes to writers and authors alike. She has been one of our top producers for the last year on our weekly radio show. And in addition, Eva is writing and developing a medical drama pilot and adapting the novel The Most Amazing Department Store with the original author Sharonice Arbus, who has been a frequent guest on this very show. Eva loves meeting and collaborating with other ambitious creatives with fascinating stories to tell. And I just have to say on a personal note, we have really come to a lovely working relationship and we really have a bond. And I think Eva knows what I'm talking about. We just have a connection and a bond and we do a lot of giggling and laughing and we've really developed a wonderful relationship and I'm very grateful for it. Siobhan and Eva, welcome to both of you to the other side of the camera on Finding Your Bliss.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's very strange.
Siobhan, I have been with you since the very beginning. Can you tell us how you first started working with the Finding Your Bliss team and how it all evolved? What are your memories of that?
Yes. Well, I think it all started with Phyllis Newman, the producer of season one and your good friend. She recruited me, I guess you could say, when I was a student at the Toronto Film School, and she had mentioned that she was looking for an intern for the show. So I said, yes, sure, I'd love to help out. Please let Judy know. And then I think a couple days later, I got a phone call from you, Judy. I think I actually just woke up that morning, answered the phone, hello, and it was you. And what really struck me about that conversation was just your bright, warm voice and how excited and happy you were that we were going to work together. And from there, we started with me sitting in on the third episode of Finding Your Bliss with Lily and Elaine. I think we actually gave that episode a name. I think it was called, actually I have it written down here, Singing and Rediscovering Your Voice.
Wow. Siobhan, that was actually at Zoomer in the studios. If you can just describe how cool that place is.
Yes. So the Zoomer Plex is a very interesting place. It has a couple studios in there. We got to go in the big studio with the big desk and is separated from the sound room with these big sliding glass doors. So Judy would sit on one side of the doors and the team would sit on the other side with Duncan at the controls at the time with all the buttons and whatnot. So it was really neat.
Isn't that fun? And that's really how it all started on live radio show day on Saturday. We would go down together often, or we'd meet there, do the show, tell what we would do always after the show. I miss that thing we used to do right after it was over.
Yes, we had a little post-show ritual of getting milkshakes and meeting them in the car as we drove back to the office.
Or the local. Sometimes yes. We would go to the local, which is my favorite place. So I miss that live component. That was really fun. And in fact, it's interesting because we're talking about doing some more live shows in the studio, which I think is going to be really great. 5 years later, we were looking for another associate producer and we found you, Eva. And can you tell us how you first started and how your position has evolved so beautifully into our awesome producer of the popular weekly radio show on Zoomer?
Yeah, absolutely. This was last summer now, and I believe I was looking for a job in broadcasting and TV and in that world. And I found Finding Your Bliss, and then I did more research onto the show and Judy, and I said, this is me. This is perfect. And I remember the first interview, I booked a room in the library, and there was someone in there, and I said, basically, like, you need to leave. Like, I booked this room. I have an interview. And I worked to make sure everything was perfect. Wi-Fi was good. And from that first interview, I felt so connected to you, Judy. And I felt this was such a great match. And I was so nervous. And then we had another interview. And then eventually I got to Finding Your Bliss. And it felt right. And I loved the show and what it stood for. And it was bright and sunny. And I think I was too at the time.
So guys, I'm going to ask, and this is really for anyone, and you can both chime in and anyone can take this, but what does a producer do exactly? And can you take us through a typical day on Finding Your Bliss?
Let me start with a typical day, maybe on a Monday. Basically, the first thing we like to do is we like to listen to the show that'll be airing that Saturday. Then we add in our pickups, which are our little commercial breaks and the little extra things like the thank yous and all of that. And we record that and we start the promos on Monday and send out some more guest invites. I think that's one of my favorite days of the week. That's usually what Monday is. And basically, some of the things a producer does, because it's hard to put into a few words, but basically, I work with the host to craft and create the content and manage the production schedule, as well as we write the script together every Tuesday. And we work to, I guess, wrangle the guest, and we do research together, as well as make sure all the deliverables for Zoomer is done. And I run the recording sessions and I'm kind of the primary contact for our guests and kind of run after them a little bit to make sure we get everything we need for their show. Yeah, I'd say that's the job.
And you're great at it. You're really, really great at it. And it's wonderful. I wanted to say something to both of you because I think there's a lot of work involved in getting the show ready to do, right? So Monday's crazy because we're working on the upcoming show that weekend to edit it and get it all clean. Because our feeling is it's Finding Your Bliss. It's not 60 minutes. We want everyone to look and sound good. So if there's likes and ums, we want to delete those
and
just make it really clean. So that's one of the things. But there's also a lot of guest outreach that happens all week. We work really hard in getting guests. In fact, we've got some very exciting guests coming up. A very big actress who it took a few years to get her, and another huge anchor person who also is fabulous that we finally got coming on the show. So we do a lot of work on outreach. But there's something that happens. One of the things that's very magical is something that happens on the show. And I think that you've been surprised at it, that moment where it kind of all comes together in a very exciting way that you didn't expect. We've done all the work. We've written the script. Someone was late the night before. Siobhan, who's done that with me several times, especially Sarah Wells. And we'll often do that. But then something happens when we go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're there. Siobhan, that moment where you're there with the guest and you just go, this is kind of cool.
Yes, definitely. That moment when it all comes together, all that hard work. I guess you could describe it as getting into the zone after that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown goes and the recording button plays. Everything just sort of smooths out. Everyone knows what they need to do. And as you said, this is not 60 minutes. Finding Your Bliss. It's meant to be fun. And Judy, you're very good at curating an excellent environment and atmosphere for your guests. It's a real treat. for the guest, I believe, as well as us producers, because we can kind of calm down as well. And yes, make sure we're keeping the show to time. All the buttons are working, all the equipment, because that happens sometimes. You know, we are at the mercy of the internet now that our show is pre-recorded. So I'm always a little bit fingers crossed that Rogers wants to cooperate today. But we've come a nice thing here, and we definitely get a nice rhythm going.
It really has. And it's really evolved into such a beautiful machine. Like, our paperwork, even Zoomer notices that we are like the most together show in terms of our incredible organization. It's really, really amazing. And, you know, I just think of so many wonderful memories that we've all had together where we just can't, we almost marvel at how we pulled this all together and made all of this happen. And you guys are really at the forefront of making that possible. Are there any funny behind the scenes moments that come to either of your minds? Because there's so many.
There's a couple. Let's see.
Maybe one or two.
Exactly. I think I have two stories that I can share. One from pre-COVID, back when the shows are live at Zoomer, and then another story when we move to our online format, our pre-recorded format, I should say. So let's start with the Zoomer days, Zoomerplex. I remember I believe it was the mastermind group. And despite the studio and the big desk being very big, there's not many chairs around the desk. So I remember I had to go around the Zoomerplex and take all the empty chairs who usually would be filled by employees working at Zoomer. But thankfully, this is a Saturday. No one's there besides from the essential a team and us there to get the show recorded and going. But yes, so taking all these chairs and wheeling them into the studio is always kind of fun, being the chair thief.
That was great. It was a lot to manage. Seven people with Elaine and myself. I might have been the eighth person. And so it really was challenging to get the chairs. And you did. You handled that with great grace and ease and aplomb, as always. What's the other story that happened once we were online?
I would say at the height of COVID, so in 2021, back when everyone was working from home. And so we had to deal with a bunch of kind of unexpected things, from noisy households to trucks and traffic noise. You had to be kind of ready for anything. And a favorite kind of occurrence was pets and dogs, barking dogs, during our interview with musician and singer Billy Newton Davis. He had this cute little dog named Oreo, and Oreo just wanted to be a guest on the show as well. I don't know if you remember, Judy, but he just kept barking, and I believe he was a tinier dog, so it's those little high-pitched barks, and it was really cute.
That's so funny. Eva, do you have a memory of a funny, embarrassing, hilarious moment?
I remember there were so many wonderful moments. So we've been working primarily online, and we've encountered our fair share of technical difficulty from all sides, from my side and the guest sides. And sometimes it's been quite a feat to get guests on the show who can't see the link, who don't have Chrome, who are getting weird messages, and we're waiting. We're trying to help, we're tech support, but we also...
We need support.
Yeah, we need support. Yeah. We need to get Siobhan on board, try to figure it out. A couple of times it kind of took us a few hours to get it running, but we always managed to get the interview. You, especially Judy, do an incredible job, and I'm always amazed. And we make it through, and we laugh about it later.
Also, it's so true. Thank you for that, Eva. Also, people are so gracious. And also what I've noticed, and I think this is through your great help and also through Meg Ruffman, our supervising producer, who's also been here since the beginning, is that the best interviews, I think, are when I can actually put down the script and just talk to them. Yeah. And Meg always says, just go for it. Just have a conversation. And yes, the script is a wonderful guideline. Sometimes you need it because you want to make sure your facts are great. We pride ourselves on doing incredible research. And the guests really appreciate that sort of Brian Linehan research that we do and the refreshing questions that we ask that they haven't been asked before. But when you can actually go off script, it usually means we've done our work and we know our stuff so well that we can kind of throw out the script and just talk. And those are some of the most magical moments. Yes. Eva, do you have a favorite interview you worked on where you went, I love this guest?
I absolutely do. I think one of them has to be Jeannie Becker, yes. Because any guest that gets emotional and that you feel a real connection towards and you talk about their personal lives and relive their wonderful past is truly magical. And that was one of those interviews where I just stopped and I said, wow, this is magical. And Sarah Wells is also another one because it was so inspirational and just made me want to like take on the world. That one. Those are some of my favorites for sure.
Lovely.
Among others for sure.
Siobhan, do you have a favorite or favorite interviews?
Oh, they're all so good. But I do have a little list of those who kind of come to mind firsthand. So that would be Jennifer Valentine, Ruth Vallis. Was a wonderful, beautiful interview.
Yes.
Marilyn Lightstone and how we got that into work was interesting because we both called in. She called into Zoomer and we also called into Zoomer. And then Faz had to make it work, but it was lovely. Marcy Ian was wonderful. Yeah. Dr. Liebrach, when he comes on, he's always got something very interesting and fascinating to say. Richard Nestor from the Shopping Channel was wonderful too. Oh.
I've got to tell him about this. He'll want to listen to this interview. Those are wonderful, great memories to go back to as well. So there is a question that we ask everybody at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you guys as well. What is bliss for Eva Shabbatai?
I can tell you bliss right now is just being with my friends and going to see a good movie or a bad movie and laughing and eating some junk food and not feeling bad about it later. Yeah, I'd say that's one of my bliss.
Nice. Beautiful. And Siobhan, what is bliss for you these days?
We always know this question's coming, but I would say spending time with my family and cooking a good meal with my husband. What else? Licorice. I enjoy some licorice, so I'm with you there, Eva, eating junk food, not feeling guilty.
Nice.
Sometimes you need a treat.
Let's all talk about our favorite. I know, Siobhan, yours is red and mine is black licorice. What about you, Eva?
I red all the way. I cannot stand black licorice. I don't know how you can do that.
I want to thank you both so much, Siobhan and Eva, for being on the show today. I really love you guys. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We love you too. And thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you so much. Each week we spotlight a fabulous person like Paula Wolfson who is living their bliss or helping other people to live their bliss, which I love. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, a therapist, life coach, actor, dancer, writer, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. We also love to feature singer-songwriters or musicians on this show. So if you're a singer, please reach out to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. Also, what did you love about today's show? Are there any guests or topics that you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Write to us. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means that I can help you get unstuck, gain clarity, find your passion and purpose. Reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. And all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrach. And of course, you can always follow us at the Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. In Bliss News, we have a couple of things to share. Starting off, I'd like to remind all of our listeners about Paula Wolfson's event, Singing with Parkinson's 10th anniversary, this May 1st at 6:30 p.m. at the Toronto Metropolitan Library. That is located at 105 Bond Street. Or you can even attend the event on Zoom. For more details, all you have to do is email Paula Wolfson at dustydora@simpatico.ca. We hope to see you there. Let me give you that email address again. It's dustydora, D-U-S-T-Y-D-O-R-A, @simpatico.ca. Also, we are so excited to announce our phenomenal giveaway, courtesy of best-selling author Jean Meltzer and Harlequin Books. One lucky follower will win a copy of Jean Meltzer's delightful holiday novel, The Mutza Ball. To enter this amazing giveaway, all you have to do is visit the Finding Your Bliss Instagram page at The Bliss Minute. That's The Bliss Minute on Instagram. Then just like and save the contest post, tag two friends, and make sure you're following at The Bliss Minute and at Jean Meltzer. That's J-E-A-N-M-E-L-T. Z-E-R. The contest is on right now and it closes on April 29th at 6 p.m. So don't miss your chance to add this fabulous rom-com and charming read to your book collection. Good luck, everyone. I would love to thank our wonderful guest, Paula Wolfson, for being on the show today. Also, a special thank you to producers Siobhan and Eva for that wonderful behind-the-scenes interview. Special thanks to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannizziello, Ben Thomas, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer, and of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.